Well, in a few hours, it'll all be over. All that preparation, all that angst, all that feverish running around. In a few hours, Advent will be over. And we will be into the Christmas season, which really does last more than 24 hours. Actually, it lasts several weeks. In our household, we keep our tree up until February, at least, until Christmas comes to an end. But where we are right now is still in Advent. It's a strange time, really. It's all happening on the one day. The last time it all happened on the one day was 2006. That's 11 years ago. That was the last time when Advent 4 and Christmas Eve fell on the same day. Interesting thought to go away and ponder for the rest of the next few years, whether we're all going to be around when it runs round again, you know. But here we are, in Advent. And depending on which gospel version of the Nativity you want to read, Matthew or Luke, Mary and Joseph are in Bethlehem, or they are on their way to Bethlehem. The wise men are certainly following their star and journeying towards the manger from the east. We shall celebrate them on the Feast of the Epiphany on the 6th of January. The shepherds are in the fields, watching their sheep. In our own time, the church has been decorated, almost. After the service, the blue hangings will go away for another year to be replaced by white for Christmas. Almost certainly, the service bulletins for Christmas Eve are printed and ready. All the elves came throughout the week, folding and folding as Michelle printed and printed. And they're all there in the parish hall, quite a lot of them, really. And I don't know, well, I'm seeing cars go by, so although humanity is still rushing around trying to get the last things done, I like to think all is still. Quiet. Still. As we await the coming of our Saviour. Strange, then, isn't it, that the reading for this last Sunday of Advent should propel us back in time to the Annunciation, to the time when the angel Gabriel announced to Mary that she was to become the Theotokos, the God-bearer. Should you be interested, the Feast of the Annunciation occurred on the 25th of March, which it should, really, following the natural calendar of a childbirth. The 25th of March is appropriate. But here we are, only hours before the Nativity, looking back in time. The reason, of course, is that we are now in God's time. Kairos, not Chronos. Human time, Chronos, insists on moving forwards, reluctant, if not impossible, to look back. Whereas Kairos, God's time, is constantly moving, past, present, and future. Imagine astronomers who look into a telescope deep into space. They're actually looking back in time, from a place here to what might happen in the future. That's Kairos, God's time. So before we move forward in a few hours to Christmas Eve,
which is really now, but isn't now, if you get my meaning, before we move a few hours hence and start celebrating the Nativity, and the Nativity set will be lit up, and Deacon Hank will do his thing with all the children, and the hangings will be different, and we'll be singing all the wonderful Christmas songs, and we'll be doing that right through until midnight. Before we move forward to that, and the Nativity of our Lord, we are reminded where the story began. It began with a messenger sent from God, the angel Gabriel, visiting an ordinary woman betrothed to an ordinary man to tell her that she would give birth to a child who was of God and who would show us what God was like. No crowds, no fanfares, no noble dignitaries to mark the occasion, no people stacked up on the steps of the White House or gathered round Buckingham Palace or all the major cities of the world. A tiny, remote place where God would tell Mary that she was Theotokos, and he would tell her in private. Imagine, how might we have reacted to such a visitation? In fear, certainly. Questioningly, most assuredly. When God appeared to Moses, Moses tried to back out of the call. When God chose Saul to lead the people of Israel, he hid in the fields. When God appeared to Paul, Paul cowered. Not so Mary. Unlike all the other actors in Scripture, unlike all of humankind in such circumstances, Mary neither questioned nor ran away, but humbly and meekly accepted God's word, accepted God's mission. This is what so impressed the first Christians. You know, we all always, well, maybe it's quietened down a bit now, but certainly when I first started studying theology and stuff, there was all this stuff about what is a virgin birth. As my professor of New Testament used to say, it wasn't a virgin birth, it was a virginal conception, and there's a difference. There was all this anxiety about, was it even possible to have a virgin birth? That had no influence on the first Christians at all. They weren't in the least bit interested. Because interestingly enough, every single emperor that ever was claimed a miraculous birth. So to them, it was natural that that would be with Mary. No, what impressed the first Christians was not a notion of birth by the Holy Spirit, but Mary's complete and absolute submission. Her submission and obedience to God, summed up in her response to the angel, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." This is why the Church of Rome, the Anglican churches, and the Orthodox churches venerate Mary. Mary the Virgin. Mary the Theotokos, the bearer of God. Some churches seem not to understand this. I can remember having long discussions with my father-in-law, who was brought up in the Church of the Nazarene, who simply could not understand how veneration of Mary. Well, he couldn't understand the veneration of saints, period, but that was another matter. It took me a long while to convince him of the importance of Mary and of who she is. Mary, as someone has suggested, is that womb-like part of us that births Christ within. Think about that. Mary as that womb-like part of us that takes us back and then births us with Christ within. To reject Mary is to reject God. To ignore Mary is to ignore God. So, with literally hours to go before we celebrate the feast of the Incarnation, God breaking into human history in an infant child, perhaps in this stillness, in this quietness, our response to God's most gracious act is to simply say with Mary, "Here am I. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Happy Advent. Amen.